Blog Talk Radio.
It's Sunday evening, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Your hosts for tonight's show are Robert Brining and Jeremy Dunn. They'll be taking your calls and speaking on the topic of the week. You're encouraged to call in and share some of your life experiences with us. The number to call is 347-215-9442. That number again, 347-215-9442. Welcome to Pause I Am Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Pause I Am Radio. I am your host, Robert Brining. Today I am joined by Jeremy Dunn. Jeremy, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's 2011.
Right?
How was it? What's that?
How was it for you?
It was okay. We went to the first night Charlotte, and I'm not paying $10 for a damn wristband ever again. It was a complete ripoff on that respect. But the they had a big main stage, so which that was free. excuse me. And they, of course, had this great band that sang for a couple of hours, and then they raised the Queen City crown up over the stage and lit off fireworks and all that jazz. So it was kind of cool.
Oh, very exciting. I spent the night at home.
Oh, now that is exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting because, you know, I'm not a big drinker anymore. So, you know, to go out and to do that and party all the time is just not my thing anymore. So I'd rather stay at home where I know I'm safe.
Well, you know, they say, I got to tell you, though, New Year's Eve is amateur night. It really is. It's amateur night.
Mm-hmm.
It's when all those yahoos are out there kicking it up and getting drunk and getting stupid.
That's right.
Oh, finally. There I am. I'm in. Woo! I'm trying to get into the chat room now for the last 20 minutes, so I'm there now.
No, you're good. You're good. Just real quick, let me just do an intro and let people know. If you're first time listening, thanks for tuning in. We are here every Sunday night at 9 p.m., and what Pause AM Radio does is offer a voice to those living with HIV and AIDS. And we also bring on guests to share personal stories where some have been celebrities or authors, and others have been everyday people, you know, like myself and Jeremy, who just wanted to share their story and get it out there. So that's what we're
doing. I didn't
want to
share my story. You forced it out of me.
Yes, definitely did.
Actually, Robert, I've never shared my story on Pause I Am.
Yes, you did.
No, never have.
Yes, you have.
No, I haven't.
Yes, you have. Anyway.
No, I haven't.
No, we have had you on. I swear we
no.
did.
No, uh-uh. Nope.
Okay, well, we'll look into that for 2011.
Yeah.
I
want to be a guest.
Okay.
Okay.
We'll do that.
There. I've now put you on. Yes, bitter party of one. Yes, I am, Danny. Thank you very much.
No, I swear I thought we had you on one time before when we were talking about co-infection. I thought that you kind of turned in and shared a lot of your story then. But, well, yeah, we could definitely do that.
Nope. Never did.
My own fault.
Yeah, it is. So. It's all your fault.
Well, no, I see a lot of changes coming to the radio show. I have a lot of ideas. So going forward, hopefully 2011 will be a big, big, big transitional change for the radio show and a lot of the features that we have. So we can look forward to that. But I just compiled two blogs that I want to direct people to go check out after the show. I did one about my proposal that I had on Christmas. And you can go read all the juicy details and all that stuff that I was kind of a little shy to talk about on the radio last week. I went and posted that there. It's called My Christmas Proposal. And then I also just did a blog highlighting the top 10 downloaded and listened to shows of 2010. So I kind of just wanted to kind of, before we bring Brandy, our guest, on tonight, go down the list for people to look and let them know what shows maybe they missed or they weren't aware of the show before so they can go check it out. Coming in the number 10 spot was Jacob Pring when he came on and talked about his POS events that he holds in D.C., New York, and in Philadelphia. So that was a really cool show that he came on. Number nine actually was a recent show that we just did, Jeremy, was Janine Brignola when she came on and shared her story.
That was number nine?
You know, she got a lot of listens, you know.
Wow.
One of the fairly new shows, so I was kudos for her. Number
Woo-hoo.
Eight was your Carolina sweetheart, Chelsea Golden.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, she was a big powerhouse coming on and sharing, and a lot of women was able to relate to her. So she got a lot of listens, too. Number seven was Nicholas Snow when he came on and, promoted his show, his song, The Power to Be Strong, that he wrote.
Yay, Nick!
So good old Nicholas. He's awesome. Number six, Jeremy, was an all-Jeremy Dunn show. David Von Storch, when he came on, I was in Canada and you hosted Alone. And that landed in number six when he talked about his reality show that he was pitching called Complicated Order.
Yay! Yay! See,
really
I can
awesome.
Do it. See, Mama, I am a good girl.
That's right. Number five was Kimberly Rock when she came on this year and spoke about all her AIDS activism that she does. What's the name of that camp? I can't think out in Wisconsin. Camp Heartland. She does a lot of, you know, stuff with that. She talks about being on Don't Forget the Lyrics, where she raised a lot of money for, kids infected and affected that go to that Camp Heartland. So that was number five.
Good.
Number four was Sherry Lewis when she came on and promoted her blog the second time that she came on. It was fabulous this year.
That was with us.
She's always welcome back.
Yes.
She's a hoot. Total
I love
hoot.
Sherry.
Number three was Mondo from Project Runway. Definitely a highlight of the year, getting him on and having him, you know, come out openly about his status on TV. It really touched a lot of people, kind of very similar to the way Angina did the year before. So he was number three. Number two was Christopher Myron, one of our bloggers, and now
our
he does
very
the,
own.
Yes, he does the interviews, the Pause I Am or Unplugged interviews on the site now. And for number one, you got to go to positivepitch.blogspot.com to find out who number one was of the year. I'm not going to tell too many people. I'll let you go check out the blog, and I'll put the link in the chat room for people to see. And I will announce it towards the end of the show, but for other people can check it out. Because I also just compiled a list of the top 10 shows of all time that have been listened to and downloaded the most. And, you know, we can touch on that a little bit later. But that's, you know, something that I wanted to kind of bring out and congratulate the people who really help promote their shows that have been on the show. So I think it's just
okay,
a great
way to do
peaked.
It. I just peaked.
Yeah, you can peek. You're allowed to peek.
I just peeked.
Like a little kid peeking at the present.
I have seen his present, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh. Anyway.
Who hasn't?
That's true. So, yeah,
anyway.
Find the number one. Number one,
so who do we have on tonight?
2010. Tonight we have the wonderful Brandy, a.k.a. Lady Positive.
Lady Positive.
And
she sounds like a, like a one-woman, like, band. You know, like Madonna.
She could be. I'm sure she wears a lot of hats. Brandy herself contracted HIV in 97 and was diagnosed in 99. She became addicted to meth and locked herself away in the HIV closet for about 6 years. Waking up one day realizing that HIV wasn't killing her, the drugs were. She then checked herself into recovery and is going back to college to get a psychology degree. Her goal is to be there for others so no one has to go through this experience alone. She believes that one person can make a difference, but together we can change the world. So please help me welcome Brandy. Oops, wrong button. Brandy to the show. Brandy, welcome.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Brandy.
Hi, so nice. Talk to you finally.
I know, huh? It's kind of strange hearing your guys' voices and knowing that I'm actually talking to you. So,
please leave your name at the beep. Beep.
Beep.
I,
that, huh?
You thought this was going to be like a recording, huh?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be just mean of us to have done?
Oh, no doubt.
That would
be horrible.
Yeah, it would be. We'd like pre-record all the questions, and you're like thinking you're talking to people.
Oh no. That would be horrible.
God, that would be an awesome April Fool's joke. Just throw it out there.
Everybody watch that.
Right.
Yes, sorry, I just took a sip of water. So tell us what's going on in your life.
Lots of things. Where to start? Besides, of course, that I have my blog on Pause I Am, I run a foundation, and we've been doing a lot of clothes for the winter for the homeless people. And we've been going back and forth to the not-such-nice parts of town and giving out. We're taking the clothes and the condoms and the food to them instead of, you know, them having to search us out. And so we've been doing that once a month, every month for the winter months, and we'll figure something to do for the spring and summer months. But right now that's our big thing we've been doing lately. So it's been pretty good. I've gotten my daughter involved, and she actually said probably the best thing that I will ever hear in my life the other night when she told me that she looks up to me for everything I do for other people. And I was just like, wow, you know, she's 18. 18-year-olds don't look up to their parents.
Right. No, that's a difficult age. That's the age when you kind of always rebel and you want to be so far away from your parents. So for her to say that, that's awesome.
Yeah, I was like trying not to cry because we were driving down the road. And
oh, that's so sweet.
It is.
Makes me hug clumped.
And, you know, I don't know if you guys have read my blog, so you know that I haven't had contact with my children until recently. So I'm actually just getting to know her. We've only been back in each other's lives about 4 years, 5 years.
Wow.
So, yeah, she knows all about my drug abuse and all that other stuff. And she knows that I'm positive, and she goes with me to my doctors, and actually, she forced me to take her to my doctor because she wanted to ask the doctor if I was going to live, how long I was going to live. And he explained to her, your mom is extremely healthy. She will probably outlive everybody in this room. And, and she was like, okay, I can deal with that.
All right, we can handle that. Excellent.
Awesome.
So take us back to the beginning, if you will, Brandy.
How far back do you want me to go?
let's see. Well, let's not go all the way back to in utero. Let's start a little bit after that. Tell us about how you got to be where you are today. We know that you're positive, but tell us about some, because you talked about your drug abuse, you talked about some of that. So let's talk about that.
Okay, well, basically, what happened in 97, I was using drugs, and I was a bartender, but I wasn't full-fledged drug user, I guess would be the word to say. Got myself in a situation where I was raped, and I won't go into detail about that, but suffice it to say that I got myself out of the situation and got myself pretty clean and was doing okay and found out I was pregnant. Of course, we went to the doctor for those early tests for pregnancy, and they said they put me in a room and said, Brandy, and I said, yeah, and they said, do you know what HIV is? And I was like, yeah, and they were like, oh, well, you have it. Here, go to this doctor. And I was just, I didn't know what to think. I just was like, what? I mean, that's all you had to say to me? You know, and I remember I grabbed my stomach and I was like, you know, what about my baby? And she's all, I would not have it if I were you. And she left the room, and she just left me there. And I don't know.
Go ahead. Was that your regular doctor's office, or was that just like a clinic that you went to?
That was my regular doctor.
Oh,
wow.
I would have fired that one.
Oh yeah, we didn't.
Oh, good.
We didn't stay.
Good.
So, I mean, and then I went to my, of course, I went to my first doctor after I finally got myself out of that room, which took forever, you know, and then, of course, you think everybody is looking at you, you know. You're walking out, and you're like, those nurses are looking at me funny, and, you know, you just know everybody's looking at you funny, you know, and they probably weren't, but it was really hard to get out of that room for me. And when I finally got out of there, you know, I went home, told my husband, or my boyfriend at the time, and he explained to me that he thought that might be the case when I left that morning, and I lost it. I almost killed him. he had heard through the grapevine that the assaulter had died of complications of AIDS in prison.
Ah. Ah. Wow.
He didn't want to tell me. He said that, you know, my nightmares had just stopped and he didn't want to add to it. So
right.
He didn't tell me, which, later I see his point, but still, you know.
I just wanted to kind of clear out the timeline. During the time that you find out you were positive and you were pregnant, was that the time that you were also using, or did you stop at that point?
No, to be honest, and this, you know, I know this makes me a bad mother and whatnot. I didn't stop using. I got progressively worse.
I'll tell you, there are no judgments in this arena. And if anybody's listening and you care to judge, just keep your comments to yourself. All right, moving on. Because I'll kick your asses, all of y'all's.
Aww.
All right, there we go.
So my
except
my
for Danny, we'll judge him. Okay.
Let's
anyway.
Danny.
Yes. Danny W.
Oh yeah, the drugs
were
really bad.
Judgment.
I started using intravenously about a 16th a day.
Wow.
Surprising that my son came out extremely normal and extremely fat for a kid that went through all that. Was born negative,
well, that's
by the way. So.
That's great.
We did take our meds, even though we didn't do anything else good. so he was born negative. He's a very healthy child now. Of course, due to the drug use, he was adopted out when they came in and inspected my house and took him away. I got clean after that, but it wasn't until a year after they had been taken. It took me that much longer to figure out that I was losing everything from the drugs.
Right.
Mhm. So how long after, you know, they come in, they inspect and they take the kid, how long after that did it take you to make the decision to get clean?
Well, of course, when they first took him, you know, just like, you know, anybody, I said I was going to get in recovery and even, you know, called a recovery house and, you know, you're supposed to check in once a week and got accepted into one, but wanted to get that one last high before I actually went, and would always miss the deadline to get in. And so finally I gave up about 6 months later, and it took me another 6 months before I woke up and went, this is just ridiculous. I'm dying here, and I've lost everything.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of support did you have around you?
I didn't. The boyfriend I was with, which is also the father of the children, he was very, very strict on, we can't tell anybody that you're positive. And you know, everybody knew we used drugs, but that's okay. He was using too. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I actually did finally go into recovery, it was really hard because he wasn't ready for it yet, and so I had to leave him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I know from my experience, Brandy, you know, when we go into recovery, it's people, places, and things, and a lot of times, you know, those people are people that we really love, but we use with them, so we have to kind of push them out. Is that how it was for you?
Yeah, I mean, I had to totally change who my friends were and the people that after I got out of recovery, instead of going back to even the house I used to live in, I left everything I owned, everything, and moved into sober living and then stayed with friends that were in the program until, you know, I basically moved out of state just so that I couldn't tempt myself, I guess would be the word for it.
Do you remember that day that in your bio you talk about you woke up one day and you realized that the HIV wasn't killing you, it was the drugs. Do you remember, can you kind of just explain that moment for you? Because I guess that would be your, like, aha moment.
Yeah, I guess I'd been on, like, about a week run. I'd been up for a really long time, and I had just gone to sleep. And you kind of, when you're out there using meth, there are moments where you kind of wake up, you stumble around, look for something to eat, and you kind of fall back into bed. Well, when I woke up, I looked around, and I was in this trailer that I didn't recognize, and my boyfriend was, of course, nowhere to be seen. You know, our drug stuff was laying everywhere, and I realized, oh, my God, where are the kids? They're going to see this stuff. And I was like, wait, there are no kids right now. And I just looked at my body, and I was like, wow, look how skinny I am. And it just hit me that, you know, I had been positive for, you know, over a year, you know, a couple years now, and it wasn't killing me. The drugs were killing me. I mean, my arms had bruises, you know. Summertime, I can't even wear a short-sleeve shirt, you know, things to that nature. And it just dawned on me. And I actually picked up the phone and called this recovery house, and they had an opening. And they said, come in Tuesday.
Isn't that great?
She was like, she goes, you actually called on the wrong day. You guys are supposed to call on Tuesday. And I said, I guess I have my days mixed up. She goes, no, I guess it's right for you to be here. And,
wow.
I made sure I was there.
Were you only shooting up or were you doing other things? Because I know the bar scene, when you work in the bars, you know, that stuff is, like, really there all the time. You know, like the drug exposure. So were you just shooting up or was there, like for me, I used meth, I used cocaine, I used, you know, basically a lot of the things I said I wouldn't.
Yeah, no, I've never been big on cocaine, and I'm allergic to opiates, probably, thank goodness. I would have been a really bad heroin addict.
I don't mean to laugh, but that is funny.
No, truly, it really is. It's a really good thing, and I've always thought that. I can just picture myself, and it isn't a pretty picture. meth has been my main thing, and I would take it any way you could get it, of course. You know, if somebody showed up and they only did it a certain way and they preferred you do it that way, well, of course, you're gonna do whatever you can get if it's for free.
Yep.
It's
free, it's for me.
Yeah, pretty much, you know. But, no, I wasn't into the wide variety of drugs, and I'm not sure why that was. Maybe it's just because I always needed to be up and going. Especially after the kids, the longer I kept going, the more I kept going, the less I thought about that they weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I even spent Christmas high and at the casino the first Christmas they were gone.
Wow.
No kids. No kids in the casino to remind you.
Yep. So what did you do so you go into rehab. So let's start talking about your rehab days.
Rehab was a totally new experience for me because, you know, everybody was all about your feelings, and I've never been a touchy-feely kind of girl as it is, you know. My feelings stay bottled up until I'm ready to explode, and then I throw you out the house and throw your stereo out. You know, that's the kind of person I am. So here they're like, let's talk about our feelings. I'm like, I don't want to talk about my feelings. You know, and they're like, you're not going to have a breakthrough till you talk about your feelings. You know, and everybody wanted to talk about my feelings, and everybody wanted to help me do this. And I didn't want anybody's help. I wanted to do it on my own. So my first couple of weeks there was kind of hard because I wanted to do it all by myself. One day it was pretty much one day it was pretty much the same thing. I was having a hard time doing something, and instead of asking for help, they put a sign around my neck that said, I must ask for help at least 3 times a day. Because I refused to ask for help.
They
so
did
I
not put a sign around your neck.
So I walked around the center with a sign around my neck that said, I will ask for help 3 times a day. Ask me if I have asked for help. So it was rough because I was stubborn, and, you know, and I think that because I'm stubborn is one of the things that keeps me going, you know, on some days. But I did have a breakthrough, and one of the breakthroughs was when they asked us to look to either side of us and know that they probably won't be there in 9 months. And to this day, I know that there were 9 of us through there, and 2 of us are still clean. Everybody else is back on the street.
Wow. Is that normal?
Yeah, actually, that is normal. Usually only 1 of the 9 will make it to stay clean. And most people that were in there, it had been their 4th or 5th time in recovery. Once I finally got into recovery, it only took the once.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you got out, one thing I wanted to say is when you get out, did you then, like, attend NA or go to meetings?
Oh, yeah. You know, you do the 90 meetings in 90 days when you get out type of deal. And I went into like a halfway house, basically, which wasn't something that was part of the program. This was something I chose on my own because I know me. And I know if I had gone around those friends and stuff, yeah, I would have stayed strong for as long as I possibly could. But then when I'd have that one little moment of weakness, that's all it would have taken. You know, I don't feel that way now, but at that time, in that time of my life, that's all it would have taken.
You know, hearing you say that about the 90 meetings, like right hand to God, 90 meetings in 90 days saved my life.
It did.
If I didn't go to those 90 meetings back to back, and have this sponsor drag me to these meetings all over because he went to all of them, I seriously don't think I would be here because it kept me focused. And it was like, as people know who have heard my story before, you know, I got clean 30 days before my dad passed. So having to deal with that traumatic loss was kind of really, you know, something I had to deal with, and I didn't want to run and get high. So those meetings really saved your life. And there's a reason they tell you to go to 90 meetings in 90 days, because it puts you in that kind of routine of constantly going and talking about your recovery, and that's something that keeps you clean.
Yeah, and it truly is. And I had a great sponsor. She was awesome, and she was one of those ladies who had been down and done that, been there, just like me. She lived next to the McDonald's trash can at some point in time of her life, you know. So she was perfect for me. So yeah, she was pretty awesome, and I'm grateful to her. I don't do the meetings these days. I haven't done meetings in quite a few years, but those things, those steps that I learned still go with me through just about everything in my life. So,
yes, as I'm reading here in the chat room, you're 9 years clean of drugs. And
yes.
I know just recently, so congratulations on that. If I had an applause, you know, button, I'd hit it. but you also just recently quit smoking. And for me, that's like one of those things that I'm holding on to. I need to quit. And just seeing you post every day on Paz I Am Day 50, whatever, you know, today's a struggle, but I'm going to make it through. How was the new year for you? Because it was the first time you were around smokers since you quit.
Yeah, New Year's was interesting. Now, my 18-year-old that lives with me, she does smoke, but she smokes outside. So I don't have to deal with the smoke there. But, yeah, we were walking through crowds and people were smoking and stuff. And, you know, it didn't bother me half as much as I was concerned that it was. And I don't know if it's, to be honest, I don't know if it's the Shantex or the Get Quit program they have online, which was really awesome. Just like with the drugs, I had to write a goodbye letter when I was in recovery to drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I had to write a goodbye letter to my cigarettes through this Get Quit program.
And
it was almost like flashbacks. It was like when I was writing the letter, I was like, this is going to work. This is almost exactly what I went through to get off drugs. This is going to work. You know, and so I don't know if it's the Shantex or the program or a combination of the whole three, but it's working for me, and I've tried to quit I don't know how many times. Smoking has been a real trial and error for me.
But it's inspiring that you share about it and you talk about it, because for me, like I said, I always want to quit, and that seeing your post every day just reminds me, yeah, I really need to quit. You know, and I tried Chantix, and for me, it brought nothing but, the same thing, for me, it was like an antidepressant. It made me very depressed, but it made me, you know, very, very depressed, and it made me have very bad thoughts, like suicidal thoughts. It made me very edgy, so I couldn't take it.
Well, they
say
that one of the side effects, and that if you are and especially with people with predisposed with any kind of mental illness where am I going with this? It's people who are predisposed to like depression, anxiety, things like that. It can amplify and can do those types of things. So you are coming in to 9 years of sobriety. Have you had any relapses or anything like that?
No. And, you know, I was concerned when we started this Clothes for the Homeless, because we're going into areas.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I can spot the person that's tweaking before they even make it to the truck. And I thought it was really going to really affect me. And the only thing that it's done was, did I look like that? Did my jaw move like that? Did, you know, I
yeah.
start thinking, you know, oh, wow. And I start
did
thinking
I
back.
Did I look that bad?
Yeah. Yeah. I start thinking back to all the times that I was trying to hide that I'd been up for 2 weeks thinking, people had to have known. People had to have known, you know. You know, and just the thought of having to go through any of that again, no way. I'm so past that.
When you use, you totally lose all perception of reality and how you look. I mean, I look back at photos of when I was using about 10 years ago, and I look so thin, so horrible. Like, I can't believe, I thought I looked good. You know, like, that's the mindset I had when I was using.
That's exactly,
I look good.
You think you're like, I'm skinny, I'm looking good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah, so not it. And that's the only time I ever think about it, I think, every once in a while, is I'll look and say, gosh, I've gained so much weight. Why wasn't this fat when I was using? And then I'll think, oh, no, we don't want to go there.
Yeah, and by the way, I did post it in the chat room, and I will quote, what did I say here? I said, meth is not the diet plan you want to choose.
That is awesome. Yeah, that's exactly
okay,
it.
Okay, it just isn't. It's not.
No, I agree. I have a question here coming from Brock, who is on the PosIM network now in the chat room, and he said, he asked if you relapsed, and I know we kind of covered that, but he said, have you had any battles with it?
Any battles with, well, I've had some, I took my ex back there for a short time, about, I was 11 months clean, and that the ex that we had the kids with, and I think I took him back because it was a connection to my children. And, you know, he was supposedly clean. He had spent, you know, nine months in jail, and he was clean. And I started noticing that he wasn't. And I could have so easily just gone the way, you know, gone out and started using with him. And it was really hard and a real struggle because I wanted to hold on to him, but I didn't want to be near him when he was using. And it was real difficult. It was... You know, besides that, you get this little part in your body where you're, okay, I'm HIV positive. Who the hell is going to want me? You know, you get this mindset that you're defective goods. And, you know, who's going to want somebody who's defective? You know, I mean, I'm already mentally defective occasionally. I have all these emotional issues. Now I've got this on top of it, you know, so might as well keep the one who wants me, you know.
Yep. Well, you got me. There's no returns on this one. So you're 9 years. You are you've how long have you known about your HIV status?
I've known for 13 years, going on 15 being positive, but 13 of knowing.
Okay. And that is amazing. 13 years. So listeners, I hope you're listening to this. 13 years. Now, granted, Brandy isn't the longest person, or hasn't had it the longest, obviously. But for all of you newly diagnosed folks out there, I'm coming up on my 6 year diagnosis anniversary. Matter of fact, not next week. Not this week, but the week after, I think, January 17th. And Brandy's got 13 years. We've got some folks that have been 27 years. And little do we know, or, you know, funny that we are talking about all of this, because 2011, this year, is 30 years since HIV was found. Discovered. So put that into perspective there. So anyway, I go on and on and on. This wasn't about me, although we should do a show all about me, but I'm not there. I'm not bitter. We'll move on. but so Brandy, 9 years, you are out doing incredible things with the homeless. You're getting out there and pushing out. Not pushing. Pushing was the wrong word, wasn't it? Brandy's a pusher. Brandy, you're out there giving clothes and coats and things like that out to the homeless. What do you see yourself in the next 5 years?
You know, I started this foundation with my boyfriend, Michael, which we've only been together 4 years, so he knows I'm defective and damaged goods, and he still loves me. we started this foundation together originally so that I could go out and teach people about HIV and to teach them how to live positive lives. And I do workshops, so the homeless thing is just one of the side things that we do. I'm president on our local CAB. There's lots of things I do now that I would just like to make a little bit bigger, do a little more. Sometimes I try to do too much, unfortunately. You know, I've got the workshops, the CAB, the homeless, and I end up doing too much, but I will have my psychology degree this spring, too.
Wow.
I would just like my foundation to reach the people that it needs to reach, to help the people that it needs to help.
And the name of your foundation, is that the POS Awareness for Positive Change?
Yes, that's it.
Okay, now, is there a website for that?
There is, but it's just got the logo on right now. It's pa4pc.com. And, of course, a lot of you know that. Yeah, we're still working on it. My technical support engineer person, that would be Michael, is having technical difficulties with it. So we'll see how that goes. He's actually a very smart man.
PA for PC.com or org?
.com. It's .com. Yeah. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook. And that's where the Brandy and Michael is. It's mine and his page for the foundation.
I think it's great. Because it really takes a certain individual to go out on the streets and hand out condoms and talk to people who you know are using drugs or maybe prostituting or things like that. So for me, I applaud the efforts that you guys do, and I think it's great. I think it really is.
Yeah, we've done some really good things, and we've reached some people, and we hope to do more, you know, and sometimes sharing my story is the way to do it. Sometimes just presenting a workshop to help them is another way that I reach them. Sometimes I don't even have to mention my story, and I can see that I've reached people, so it works out really good. Go ahead.
Now, I was going to say, where are you located at? Because I know you were talking about a support group in your blog that you didn't have much success with, so I kind of wanted to get the word out about that. Are you still doing that workshop?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm always doing that workshop, and I'm always out there, and sometimes we don't get anybody, and sometimes I end up with a whole group of people. And I'm in Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Now, where is Oklahoma City?
In Oklahoma.
Where is that?
It's the Midwest. We are smack dab in the middle of the United States.
Oh, it's one of those flyover states. Okay.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
We are one of those flyover states. We are the belt buckle of the Bible Belt.
Oh, yes. Yes, and you know what's underneath the belt buckle, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Jim, what am I going to do with you?
I don't know. Maybe a TV show one of these days. You can be Starkey and I can be Hutch.
Right?
Oh, wait, no. It'd be more like, I don't know, what was that show with Dine Daly? It will come to
Cagney and Lacey.
That's it, yes! Yes! Yes, we could be Cagney and Lacey. I love it. Wait till you see my pea shooter.
Oh, you guys crack me up.
Anyway,
I digress.
I've taken us off on yet another tangent. So tell us. So you've got this this, we're talking about the foundation, we're talking about where you're at, so sorry to have gotten us on that rocky road of laughter there, but what else are you thinking of doing?
Well, you know, I'd like, I'm working on a, basically an HIV 101 class.
Mm-hmm.
One of the important things that I think is something that was, you know, missed when I was diagnosed was nobody said, you know, here, learn about this, learn what your CD4s are, learn what a viral load is, learn how to check medication interactions, you know. My left side is partially disabled due to a medication error that's so common, you know, that they should have never missed, but they did. And so I'm real big on you need to be your own advocate. You need to check your medications because doctors and pharmacists and all that all make mistakes, and you just don't want to be one of the ones that falls through the crack. So I've been working on it, and it's a slow process because it's going to be like, you know, a 3-hour to 4-hour workshop where it's going to take the newly diagnosed, and it's going to let them know everything there is to know, and it's going to, you know, be a little folder they can take home however they want to do it. But the information is going to be there, and somebody will have told them. And that is so important, and I checked, and nobody has that here. And that's just, to me, that seems ridiculous. As you said earlier, we're 30 years into this, and clinics still don't have something where they teach their newly, you know, diagnosed people what's going on in their body and what's happening. A new diabetic has to go to a diabetic class. You know, why doesn't a newly positive person have to go to an HIV education class? I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's my big work on thing. And I've already talked to my clinic that I go to, and I can have the classroom once a month to present the class. I can't make it mandatory or anything, but I can present it and offer it, and the Red Cross has graciously given me permission to also put it there, you know, for those that aren't just, because there's more than just my clinic, of course.
Well, good for you, Brandy. You know, a lot of people would not be able to handle, you know, the situations that maybe you've went through, and I think for you to come out on top and be such a well-rounded person with a good head on their shoulders and somebody who obviously is putting, you know, the education of trying to educate people, you know, in the forefront, it's very important that you know that what you're doing is exactly what needs to be done. How are the services over in Oklahoma?
We actually, our services are pretty okay. Of course, you get the case manager and the doctor and all that, but sometimes the things aren't quite networked as well as they should be, and sometimes things get very messed up between case manager and doctor and stuff, so you know, not everybody's lucky enough to be in a clinic where they have their case manager and their doctor and their pharmacy all lined into one, which I actually am at the OU Science Center, so all my stuff is together, but we have lots of clients that are scattered all over the place. So I'm trying to hopefully, you know, get something more networked for even our organizations, our AIDS organizations, to be more networked. And we've been trying to do that as part of CAB. We've been talking about a way to get our AIDS organizations more together and more up on things.
Right. Well, that's great to hear. I do want to real quick open up the phone lines and let people know if you'd like to call in and speak to Brandy, a.k.a. Lady Positive. You can reach us at 347-215-9442. I know we do have somebody who's been on hold for a little while, so let me go ahead and bring Danny on. Danny, welcome to the show.
Hello, Robert. Hello, Jeremy. Hello.
Hey, Danny.
Hello, Lady Positive. Hello, love. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Brandy, you are awesome. I'm not going to – you should never think that anybody would give you a hard time because, man, yet another inspiration from Paz I Am. You know, it's just – I don't know. I think having HIV, you know, I'm a timid little flower, and these guys are going to laugh, but I really, you know, one-on-one I am. But being HIV positive has made me so much stronger, you know, spiritually, physically, not physically, but, you know, emotionally. You know, you have to fight. You have to know how your doctor's office works. You have to know your case manager's cell phone number. You have to, you know, you have to follow up. You have to ride their ass for everything. And I speak here locally, and I speak at a rehabilitation center. In fact, that's where it all started. The HIV lady said, you know, do you want to say a few words about, you know, what it's like about with having HIV, and explain CD4 and viral load and what medications you have to take. And I have wasting syndrome, so I had to try to explain all this to a bunch of rednecks. Well, it went very well, and now it's a steady gig. I do it, like, usually once or twice a month. And she can't always pay me, but usually what I do is I have lunch with the therapist, and, you know, that's good enough for me. I just want to get the word out there. You know, I can't save all the kittens, but I think if I reach one person, it's going to be like the telephone game, and they're going to tell a person, and they're going to tell a person, and so on and so on and so on. You know, I don't want to go global. I don't want to be, you know, I'm not an activist, but I do have a voice, and you guys have all heard that before. But, and I'm just Danny. I'm just me. So I applaud you. Keep up the great work, and congratulations. God, that's wonderful. If I had the energy, I'd be, I don't think I could be a therapist, but, or whatever it was. What are you going to be? What are you going for?
Psychologist. Psychologist.
Whatever the hell that is. Yeah.
Pretty much the same
whatever
thing.
Thank you, Jeremy. You get out of my head. Get out. Get out.
Get out.
I didn't have my, I held off taking my nighttime pill because, you know, once you take that, you got about 5 minutes to get where you're going and you're done. Because I'm on
yeah.
the phone. And you know, just a flash,
mine are sitting
you know.
Right here next to me, next to my bed, my glass of water.
So is mine. Get out of my head. Get out
Thanks.
Of there. Get out. Anyway, keep up the great work. Jeremy, Robert, it's always a pleasure. I'm going to have a show. I think that's very exciting. I'll be able to just say whatever the hell I want. No one can censor me. Ha, ha, ha. Anyway, hey. Congratulations
that's
right,
Dan.
On
We're
your
gonna...
engagement. That's awesome. I said congratulations on your engagement. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you so much.
I want to be the bridesmaid. Jeremy and I want to be the flower. Jeremy and I want to be the flower girl.
Yeah,
well,
I probably
that
will
that
be
pink.
Too.
Double pink capita. I'm funny. I'm tired. I'm overtired. But anyway, thank you all. I started to blog a little more. I'm getting more comfortable in my own skin, and it's just so easy just to type, you know, and nobody ever judges, ever, 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 on Pause I Am, and that's another thing. And I tell, anytime I speak to anybody publicly, I say, you know, and I'm working with Christopher Myron, and I'm going to have a chapter in a book, and I've got a radio show coming up, and they're like, wow, that's awesome. And I said, I'm just me, you know. I am not college educated. I'm just country boy from northern New York, and, you know, I just do what I do, and I try to impact as many people as I can on a daily basis without running myself into the grave, you know, because you do get run down, you know. And it just, I don't know if, how many of you speak, but every time you tell your story, you feel like, I feel like I've been run over by a truck because it's just so emotional, you know, and there's parts in it where you start to cry and everybody starts to cry. I don't do that for theatrics. That's my life. And, I won't ruin the surprise. You'll hear about it in a couple of weeks. So anyway,
that's right.
Thanks,
Danny. When are you on again? What date?
You're the fucking moderator. Oh, sorry.
You're the 23rd, right?
Yes, sir. You posted it. It's on Pause I Am.
Yeah, I'm not looking at it right now. I just wanted to make sure.
Yo,
so people can
it.
Definitely make sure they mark their calendars. Danny will be on the 23rd of January. All right, Danny. Well, you have a great night, and thanks for calling in, buddy.
All right. Okay, talk to you later.
Thank Bye-bye. You, sweetie.
You're
yeah,
welcome, Danny. The reason I asked is because we have two Dannys coming on, and I wasn't sure what exactly one that was. We have Danny, who just called in, Danny Weaver. He's coming on the 23rd, and then Danny Miller will be on next Sunday. Jeremy, you'll be with me next Sunday when we speak to him, and he does a fabulous blog called The Chatterbox over at Positive Light, so he's going to be on. But we do have another caller, so let me bring them on real quick. Hello,
wow.
Caller. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah,
you're on
hi,
the Boston Psychic Boyfriends Network. This is...
Hello, who's this?
Hi, I was calling for Brandy. Hey, Brandy, it's Diane.
Hi, hon. Thanks
How
for
are
calling
you?
In. I'm good.
I told you I'd call in. I'm just
As
glad the lines weren't all packed up.
That is awesome.
I was chatting with her earlier on Facebook, and I said, you're going to do great. I'll keep my fingers crossed for you, and she is just awesome. I love Brandy. She's doing great.
Thanks. She runs a group. Diana runs a group that's called Positive Women in
Action.
Oh, now my mind went, thank you. Positive Women in Action. I was going to say in travel, but, you know, we're all in motion, so.
Right.
So she runs a great group on there, which she just, which I'm a part of now, and so she's awesome, too. So you guys should have her on here.
Yeah,
I just
juicy
put in a
stories
request,
to tell
so
us?
I guess I'm on the waiting list.
Do you have any juicy stories to tell us about Brandy?
Not about Brandy, because we just kind of got in touch today, but from what I've heard, I mean, I just want to say that I really, really give her a lot of support for all the things that she's been through, and I'm so glad. That's great she's helping homeless people, because my ex-boyfriend is actually my ex-husband is homeless, and it's like if I can just reach out to him, and, you know, he was the one that gave me HIV, and it's like if I could just reach out to him and talk to him in some way, shape, or form, and, you know, try to reach out to homeless people out here in Denver, I mean, that would be so awesome to go and talk to people that are in that situation. And so what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the Women's Summit out here in the city and county of Denver, which usually is around October or so. So I'm really, you know, pushing for that to be out here. And then the next summit we're going to have is Kansas City, which will be in April. So I'm just doing a lot of fundraising and doing a million things getting ready for that. So lots of work to do. So today's my last day to relax.
Oh, well, thanks for tuning in with us.
Yeah, not a problem. I just wanted to say hi to both of you guys. You're doing a great show. And keep me in mind. If you need someone, just give me a holler. I'm on your list. So
you're on my Facebook page?
I am.
All right, hook us up. We'll figure it out. I'll get Brandy to connect us together.
Okay, that sounds like a plan.
All right, awesome. You have a great night.
You too now. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yay,
you
we're starting
Brandy.
To pimp people out. I love it.
Yes, yes. If anyone else would like to call in and speak with us, we have about 9 minutes left. You can reach us at 347-215-9442. Call in and have a question for Brandy. This hour flew by, Brandy.
It did, didn't it?
And you were all worried.
I'm just so used to being able to see the people I speak with, so not to see them was really kind of making me nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah, we're just a bunch of girls talking on the phone.
Speak for yourself. I'm a woman. Full-fledged. I haven't been a girl in many, many years.
Many years.
Well, I have another caller here, so let me bring
you
along.
Oh, wow, okay, look at this.
Area code 434, what's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Travis T. How's it
going,
Travis
T. Oh. How you doing,
Travis? Hi, Travis.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I am absolutely enamored by your story, Brandy, and you're such an inspiration. And I just wanted to let you know that I thank the world of you.
Oh, well, thank you, sweetie. That's very sweet. Yeah,
you
I'm going to make you cry.
You have been an inspiration to me on Pause I Am, and you have, you know, given me a voice that I didn't know I had, so I just wanted to let you know.
You are an awesome writer. Keep up that writing. You just do such a wonderful job. You just have a way with words, and you know how to say what everybody else is thinking already. So,
well, thank you. And I just want you to know how much I care about you and how much your story means to me. I've been there in the whole drug thing, and I know what it all is. So I just wanted to say hello and let you hear my voice on the phone so you would hear me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for calling in, Travis.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Oh, that's sweet. Travis is a great guy.
He is.
I know he's always in there chatting with us on Pause I Am, which has become sort of, I don't know, like a lot of people have been online lately, and I've seen the numbers go up with the hits on the site. And every time I'm on there, there's 5, 6, 10 people chatting in the chat room, and I think it's great. You know, Brandy,
yeah,
and you're a big part of that, because you're always in there.
Well, when I'm at work, it's really easy to be on there and just kind of see, you know, what everybody's doing while I'm at work, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. It's really turned out to be something good having that chat room there for people to connect in. You know, having people like Travis and David and people in there who are on there all the time. I can mention everybody, but, you know, just having them there and welcoming people, I think it's great. And you know, you just recently became a part of the Amid team on PosIM, which I'm so excited to have you on. And I think that you are exactly what women want to see when they come to the site. Because a lot of times the women who are newly diagnosed will come to a site like PosIM and see, you know, a lot of gay men and feel overwhelmed that they're not able to relate to us because they want to talk to a woman. So, you know, that's why I wanted to get some women to join the team to help support the women that are out there that are getting lost along the way because there isn't an avenue for them. So I wanted to kind of create that avenue, and I want to thank you for kind of helping put that together.
Not a problem. It's my pleasure. Anywhere I can help, I'm there.
So how are, let me see, we got about 5 minutes. How are your New Year, how was your New Year's and how is your resolutions? Because I just know you just put a blog up. How's that working for you?
Well, as you know, I started the first time ever, started my New Year at Smoke Free, which was awesome, you know, started to breathe better, which is really cool. And I'm starting this lovely weight loss program, which actually isn't so much as like a diet pill as, I mean, you've probably all heard about it. It's the Ally program. And what it is it makes sure that you only do 19 grams of fat per meal.
Oh, yes. So yes. Been there, done that.
Yeah. So we start that tomorrow.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you a word of warning. Are you ready for this?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay. It's an aversion therapy pill.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we all know what aversion therapy is, right?
Yes. But if you stay on track, you don't have those little problems.
Yes. Well, and don't freak out when you look in the toilet and it looks like olive oil in there. I am not kidding you. Not kidding you. It is that Ally thing. It blocks the fat. And there's only one place for the fat to go that it blocks.
Right. Yeah.
Out.
Oh, yeah. I did
yeah.
my research for a year and a half before I decided to go on it. So.
Mm-hmm.
So if I know that something's going to make me do something I really don't want to do, I'm more likely to follow the line. Because it isn't working with me going, that's too many calories. Oh, well, I'll just won't eat next meal.
Right, yeah, no, that doesn't work either.
Yeah, that doesn't work.
Yeah, no, because what happens then is then your body goes into starvation mode, and then you don't lose anything.
Yeah, and then you're hungry, and so you eat anyway.
Exactly, so you eat even more.
Yeah, so yeah, it's been a struggle with the weight gain because my hand-to-mouth thing's gotten a little out of hand.
Well, you know, I'm taking all the Christmas chocolate that I got, and I'm taking that to work with me tomorrow, and I'm giving it away.
I gave it all to my boyfriend and my daughter, and I started sneaking into his the other day, and he opened it up, and he was like, who's been in my chocolate? Well, the only person who didn't have chocolate, of course. So, giving it away didn't help me either because it stayed in the house.
All right, well, we are about to...
are we there? Are we at the end?
Yeah. Yeah, so, Brandy, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking with us and sharing your story.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It was a great pleasure.
Oh, Brandy, it was our pleasure entirely, and it was Rob's job.
Yes. So, Brandy, you have a great night, and we will speak to you soon.
All right, you guys have a good one.
Thanks, Brandy.
Thank you. There we go. And again, folks, you can find more information on Brandy's organization when she gets that website up and going. But right now you can go and favorite it. And it was www.pa4pa, or is it PC?
PC. PA4PC.
PC.org, that's right.
Yeah.
And you can find more information about that. Yeah, you can find more information on the show and our archives all at PauseIM.com. You can find more information on Jeremy and all his wonderful work at PositivelySpeaking.com. I just real quick also want to go down the list. Next week we are going to be speaking with, I said, Danny Miller from Positive Light. He does a blog there, and he is a member of PosIM. After that, we'll be speaking with a gentleman by the name of Kevin who will be talking about being co-infected with HIV and hepatitis C. And then on the 23rd, we'll be speaking with Danny Weaver, who called into the show this evening. I'm excited. We have a great lineup in in February, we're going to have Nate come back on and talk about the cruise. So get ready for that. That's going to be up in the fall. So things are looking really good. And I'm going to put together a list of, like I said, the top 10 songs of all time. So you can look for that in the next couple of days on my blog. Jeremy, you have a great night. Happy
you
New
too,
Year.
You too, and have a great first week of your new year.
Yes, and we will schedule to get you on soon.
Yes, please do, because I'm feeling left out.
Yes, we will definitely work on that ASAP. And anyone else who would like to be a guest on the radio show, you can contact us at our website or email us at robert@pozim.com. Everyone, thank you all for tuning in. Again, we'll be here next Sunday at 9. Jeremy, have a great night.
Right, you too. Have a great week.
We'll
talk to you
next week.
Sunday. Bye.
Bye.